The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight, with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Usually try to start the show with something funny, like a musical parody or something. I'm not going to do that today. Instead, I have an actual song, but it's not, I don't believe it's a song that will get me copyright violated, because this was put together by a group of musicians, Nashville-based musicians that call themselves the Tennessee Freedom Singers. And they put together this song. And you'll recognize if you're watching video some of the people participating. I'll fill you in on the other side. It's a song to support the candidacy of Gloria Johnson for U.S. Senate. Remember Gloria Johnson? She's one of the Tennessee Three. She and Justin Pearson and Jones, I believe, were kicked out. Well, the two Justins were, but she wasn't because, well, she said, you look. Anyway, this song is in support of Gloria Johnson's candidacy. It's called Tennessee Rise.
Hello, California morning. Hello, Mississippi dawn. Tennessee Rise. Tomorrow knows no more.
sin and blood. Now my daughter can't sleep for the night. Every night she's gunned down at school. Every day she sings her wild anthems. She beats her fears out on her drum. Now she's a wolf cub. Yeah, she's Harriet Tubman. Can we be birds?
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, that, I got goosebumps. I love good music, and that is awesome. So that is a group of more than 30 Nashville-based singers, musicians, including Brittany Howard from Alabama Shakes, Emmy Lou Harris. Who else was in there? I saw Katie Lang, Allison Russell. Did I say that? Amanda Shires, a whole bunch of others. A lot of people that I didn't recognize because, you know, I'm not much on the country music scene, but so many musicians, LA area musicians, moved to Nashville. Anyway, they got together. They recorded this song to help promote Gloria Johnson's Senate bid. She is working to unseat Marsha Blackburn, who really, really needs to go. So, so good, right? Usually when they do these, you know, group sing-alongs, they're not great. This one, Tennessee Rise. How awesome is that? Let's see. I just want to see if there's any news on where you can go. I mean, it's Gloria Johnson's campaign. By the way, Marsha Blackburn has received over $1 million in donations from the NRA. Just so you know. Let's see. Brandi Carlile, Maren Morris, Brittany Spencer, Devon Gilfillian, who I don't know. A lot of these people I don't know. Mary Gaucher and others all joined in that. And it's so good. I'll post the video on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com/3-14-24. That's where, today's show will be posted. But yeah, Gloria Johnson, one of the Tennessee Three, who is running for Senate. And boy, to defeat Marsha Blackburn, that would be awesome. I figured that was an appropriate song to start with today because it is Thursday and Howie Klein will be here today. And I could play that without being copyright violated because it's not, you know, it's not released on a on a label, I guess, who would copyright violate. But thank you, Spocko. Vote for Johnson. No, I'm sorry. VoteGloriaJohnson.com is her website. VoteGloriaJohnson.com. Oh, that was so good. All right, where do we go from there? Howie will be along at the bottom of the hour, and I sent him the song, you know, before the show, asking if he had seen it or heard it, and what he said was, sounds great. That's all he said. So, you know, we'll talk about that and other things. So it is Thursday. It is Friday Eve, how I prefer to think of it. This week just seems to be dragging. But, you know, the end is in sight and tomorrow's Friday. So Marcy Wheeler will be here. We've got a lot to talk with Marcy about tomorrow. The most recent issue is today. News from this morning where the criminal trial of the former guy, this one for the New York fraud case, the you know, the hush money, but it's bigger than just hush money to Stormy Daniels. The prosecution is now agreeing to delay the start of that trial by 30 days. Now, the Trump people wanted 90, and it goes to them, apparently, from what I can understand. It was, you know, delayed because, believe it or not, Trump's side delayed in getting their discovery, delayed in getting subpoenas out and stuff like that. And yeah, so this is what they do. And I can't just blame it on them, because that's what any defense attorney would do, is try to get a delay. And of course, they're doing it and they're having success with it, which kind of sucks. So what else? What else did I want to tell you about? Oh, it's Pi Day, 3.14. I would say go celebrate with pizza, and I would love to, but, you know, trying to watch the waistline. Oh, all right. So yesterday I told you I was going to the dermatologist today. I'm giving you an update because I heard from quite a surprising number of you who weighed in on it. And thankfully, the thing on my ear, no worries. He said, nah, that's, I forget what he said it was, but he froze it off with a little, you know, the liquid gas ice thing. So that's not to worry. But of course, because I am a melanoma survivor and I've got spots all over, I, you know, as long as I was there and paying the $100 copay, I got the full body check, and the body was okay, but he found two spots on my face. Lucky me. So they biopsied them. Hopefully they'll come back and they're fine and it's no big deal. But, you know, things were so different when we were kids. When I was a kid, you know, I grew up from, we moved to Florida from New York when I was 11. And I lived at the beach, but not physically, but that's what we did every weekend. We'd go to the beach. And back then, in the 70s, we didn't know the sun was bad for you. Not only would we sunbathe and burn, we would pull out the sun reflectors. Remember those things? It was like a tinfoil covered threefold album cover. And some of my friends made their own, but they sold them in the stores, you know, along with the suntan oil that didn't have sunscreen. And we would, and some of my friends, I didn't do this, but some, they would mix up baby oil with iodine and put it on their skin and then use the sun reflector. And we wonder why we're wrinkled and have skin cancer. That's the old days. Now everything is sunscreen. Hopefully all is fine. And this doctor was great. You know, there's a trend going on where in which private medical practices are being suctioned up by big, mostly venture capital firms. I mean, they're the ones buying up, or hedge funds. They're the ones buying up newspapers too, but doctors' practices, and it's a business. So the dermatologist that I was seeing in Florida before she sold her practice to one of these was great. And she'd spend time and do the whole thing. This, by the way, was a practice owned, I guess, by the doctor or doctors and not by a big corporation. And the doctor came in and he took his time and he took out the little, you know, jeweler's, it looked like a jeweler's monocle thing, and was looking at all the spots on me, and actually spent time and talked to me and all that. After the practice was sold in Florida, this doctor, who I used to really like, would come in, she'd do a quick once over and go, okay, you're fine. See you in 3 months. It's like, what? So now that we're out here in Arizona, I'm really doing my homework and trying to find doctors that are not like that. So this dermatologist was not like that. I was very happy. So, again, I'm counting the months. I have until 8 months to go. So it's the race to Medicare, and at the same time, the race to Election Day. Now, if Donald Trump gets in, he can't. If Donald Trump gets in, we know what he wants to do. He's already made no secret about the fact that he wants to cut Medicare, and Social Security. And in fact, here's a little montage that somebody put together. Just Trump in recent days, you know, back when he won, I still can't get those words out, won 2016, he was very strong in the statement there will be no cuts to Medicare and Social Security. Now he's singing a different song.
One last question.
Go ahead.
Entitlements ever be on your plate?
At some point they will be. We have tremendous growth. We're going to have tremendous growth this next year. It'll be toward the end of the year. The growth is going to be incredible. And at the right time, we will take a look at that. You know, that's actually the easiest of all things. If
oh
you
my
look,
God.
Because it's such
if
a
you're
big
willing
percentage.
To do some of
this. If you don't cut something in entitlements, you'll never really deal with
oh,
the
we'll
debt.
Be cutting, but we're also going to have growth like you've never had before.
You changed your outlook on how to handle entitlements, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, Mr. President. It seems like something has to be done or else we're going to be stuck at 120% of debt to GDP forever.
So first of all, there is a lot you can do in terms of entitlements, in terms of cutting. And
yeah, so it went on like that in terms of cutting. But that's not the only thing Trump has backtracked on. Right. He used to say we're going to ban TikTok because they're getting at our stuff. And now that, you know, at least the House has voted to ban TikTok and it goes to the Senate and I've got mixed feelings on it. Donald Trump is all of a sudden against it. It's because he's been bought and paid for. Donald Trump needs money desperately, and it appears as if he's open to the highest bidder. How nice is that? He's still, you know, speaking out his ass and saying ridiculous things that warrant being made fun of, things like
it's egregious what he did. But by the way, they released Hillary Clinton. She hammered her phones. She used all sorts of acid testing and everything else. They call it bleach bit, but it's essentially acid that will destroy everything, you know, within 10 miles. I mean, what she did was unbelievable. Nothing happens to her. Nothing happens to Bill Clinton. He took it out in his socks. You know, it was a famous socks case, which he actually ended up winning.
What? The man is demented. Acid? She didn't use acid on anything. He's saying she put acid on her emails that would destroy everything within 10 miles? Can anybody translate, please? Because he doesn't make any sense. Not that that's surprising. What else is going on? Okay, I told you about Gloria Johnson. It's Pi Day. Vote in the House to ban TikTok. I'm not on TikTok. I guess it's an age thing. What's scary is something like 30% of people under 30 get their, quote, news from TikTok. Now, I'm sorry. TikTok may have its, you know, its place as a in terms of being social media and a way to do silly dances and collaborate with other people on music, because I guess they do that. But it's not a news source. And the fact that the youth of America is getting their news from TikTok is terrifying. But it's also not the reason to ban TikTok. So I don't know. As for China, controlling the algorithms and stuff, I guess, that's possible. And they're probably doing it. But what this bill says is that it's not an immediate ban of TikTok. If it were to pass the Senate and if Joe Biden signed it into law, it wouldn't be immediately removed from the app stores or anything, or made not to work on your phone. It would give the Chinese government 6 months to divest itself. And the Chinese government doesn't own it, but I guess they own everything owned by their people because that's how it works over there. Al says not a reason to ban it. TikTok is free speech, like it or not. Again, I don't use it because I'm on too much social media as it is. Still trying to find the replacement for the shitter, but I still shit out on it every day. Just because I don't want to relinquish it to the right. Because, you know, they just take everything and abuse it. News out of Florida, and I need to do a Florida update. Maybe Hillary. Hillary, if you're listening and want to call in, 954-889-6410 is the call-in number. Hillary knows who I'm talking, not Hillary Clinton. Hillary Keyes, who lives in Palm Beach County, who's very involved in, I believe, PDA and the Florida Progressive Democratic Caucus and all that. Florida settled its Don't Say Gay law. Did you hear about this? So I think I told you a little bit the other day where now as teachers are allowed to say gay in the classroom. Oh, my God. As long as it's not part of a lesson. Here, this is part of the settlement. The law does not prohibit references to LGBTQ plus persons, couples, families, or issues, including in literature, in classroom discussion, such as student-to-student speech or teachers responding to students' questions, in students' academic work product or teachers' review of the same, or in teachers identifying same-sex or transgender spouses or partners. Interesting. So that's a big 180. This law, as part of the settlement, does not apply to library books. Now, that presupposes that the library books are still in the library. Chances are they've already been removed. The law, again, as part of this Florida settlement, does not prohibit gay-straight alliances, including student attendance or participation by teachers or other faculty members. The law also does not prohibit book fairs that include LGBTQ-focused books, musicals, or plays with LGBTQ references or characters, participation and expression by LGBTQ plus persons in other extracurricular events like school dances, or the wearing of clothing that is affiliated with LGBTQ plus persons or issues, or that does not conform with one's perceived gender identity. These are giant steps in Florida, mandated by the courts because this law was unconstitutional. One more provision of this settlement. The law does not prohibit instruction or intervention against bullying on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity, nor does it require the removal of safe space stickers or elimination of safe space areas for the benefit of LGBTQ plus persons. Now, the reason they had to spell all that out is because the law did prohibit those things. It prohibited instruction and or intervention against bullying on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. This settlement reversed that. And I'm hearing things that old moron death sentence is losing his hate coalition, that a lot of people are finally saying, enough of this stuff. Maybe it was his presidential race. I don't know. I'm hoping that was a big part of it. I did mention earlier that the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, said today that he's prepared to delay Trump's trial for 30 days in response to a belated production of tens of thousands of pages of evidence from the U.S. Attorney's Office in New York. Oh, wait a minute. I guess I got it wrong. I thought the delay was in Florida. And there's Hillary. Hillary, thank you for calling.
Hey, Nicole. I just heard you call me out.
I did. And you know what? I don't have much time now because I got Howie Klein coming up. But maybe Monday.
Okay.
Maybe I think Monday.
All right.
Monday, I want to do a local Florida and Arizona roundup. But I want to talk about what this overturning of or the settlement on the Don't Say Gay law and all the other stuff. And Nikki Fried's kicking ass down there. So it sounds like good things are happening in Florida.
Yeah.
Okay.
So fingers crossed. All right, I'll message you.
Because
I'll get more information from
cool.
other folks, too.
All right. So I will message you, and we'll talk on Monday.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, thank you for calling. Hillary, everybody. Thank you, Hillary.
I'm driving, so that's perfect.
You're driving, and you heard me say your name. All right, cool. I'll talk to you Monday. I'll message you over the weekend.
Okay, thanks.
Bye. That is Hillary Keyes. She's great. You know, she's just, I've known her. I met Hillary when I was doing mornings on WINZ in Miami, and she's, you know, she walks the talk, and she's great. So she's up on everything that's going on, and we'll do more prep over the weekend and find out that all the things that we need to know about what's going on in Florida, and will fill us in. Now, I told you I went to a Democratic, local, my district here in Arizona, gathering a couple of weeks ago where I got to meet Ruben Gallego. I haven't heard from his office yet, so I need to reach out to them. But there's another event this weekend that's part of the Biden outreach. It's an organizing meeting. I've heard rumors that Jamie Raskin's going to be there, so I'm going. But at the last one, I met the Senate Minority Leader and my Assembly Representative and a few other people. So what we'll try to do on Monday is, a roundup, like a Florida, Arizona, what's happening informational thing, because we don't have Jonathan with the fucking news on Monday. He's on vacation. Just to tell you what else we have coming up next week, Jason Leopold returns to the show on Tuesday. You know, my buddy Jason, who's now working for Bloomberg News, and he is the FOIA master. And he's just started a new weekly newsletter over at Bloomberg. I think it's called the FOIA Files. And it's all about the work he's done. But here's the thing. When I texted Jason a few days ago about coming back on the show, when I saw the thing about, about the newsletter. And so I texted him because I emailed him. I didn't get an answer. And I said, hey, Jace, congrats on the newsletter. Any chance, come back on the show? Let's talk about it. And he said, thank you so much. I'm sorry I didn't see your email, but that's probably because I am on assignment and had to leave my computer at home and have mostly been using a burner phone. I can't make tomorrow. This was the other day I asked him, but I can next week. I'll be back this weekend and can explain it all privately when we speak. So he's got some big story brewing. And we'll have first crack at it when Jason Leopold is back here on the show on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, we're going to talk about with one of the authors of a new book called Fighting Mad. And it's about, the Republicans overturning Roe v. Wade and how we fight back against, those actions and all that. So, So we got next week booked. Weekend's almost here. And I don't know about you, but I think it's time for a stiff one. Drink, that is, a stiff drink. Maybe a triple Dirty Debbie? And who's got the sweet and low?
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary
sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hey, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And you?
That reminded me that Chucky Schmucky thing that I've been writing about him today.
I know, I saw. Well, Chuck Schumer delivered a very impassioned floor speech saying that Israel needs to hold new elections. Well, duh.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. That could have been written by Netanyahu.
Yeah.
For
oh,
him.
Really? I didn't hear.
Or I'm sure there's no question he didn't talk about it. He didn't go on the floor until he had gotten the okay from AIPAC. You know, it's just an excuse, more kabuki theater from these guys that, you know, I mean, his job isn't to tell the Israelis to have another election. His job is to stop the genocide. His job is to stop those arms.
It's not genocide.
Israel.
I don't think it's genocide.
I just remembered. We don't agree on this.
I do want the fighting to stop. I want the killing to stop. I also want Hamas to disappear, and I want the hostages returned. So, but if it was genocide, it would have been over on October 8th. If they wanted to nuke all the Palestinians in Gaza, they could have done it on October 8th. So
they killed 30,000, 31,000.
Yeah, that's what Hamas says. And I know a lot of people have been killed, and I think it's disgusting. It's
like
horrible.
This probably isn't a topic that you and I should discuss.
No, it isn't. It really isn't.
Only about it. We're on different sides.
Yep. But we agree war is bad and killing is bad. It's horrible, and it shouldn't be happening.
And it doesn't matter if it's Jews or Muslims. It shouldn't be happening.
I agree. And you know, it would be nice if Hamas would say, no, we would not repeat the actions of October 7th, but they won't. And so a ceasefire.
And even if they do, who could believe them anyway?
We couldn't. Right. And a ceasefire doesn't work unless both sides agree to it. And that's the problem. Both sides will not agree to it. So anyway, Howie Klein. So there's other stuff going on that I did want to ask you about. And one of that is, we knew Ken Buck, congressman from Colorado, was retiring. He wasn't going to run for re-election. So Lauren Boebert, you know, Booby Boebert, decided she's going to run in his district because she thought she would have an easier time winning there. But now, out of the blue the other day, right before the State of the Union, he says, by the way, next Friday is my last day. So he's not only not running for re-election, he's leaving. And really, every vote for them, you know, is another shot at their majority. It's very close. So two things are going to happen. One is, if a few Republicans, say, come down with a bad case of COVID and are out for a few weeks, they could conceivably lose the speakership, right? Couldn't the Democrats call, what is the name of the thing? The motion?
Vacate the chair.
And they could install Hakeem Jeffries as a speaker, couldn't they?
They could. But, you know, they're not going to want to do that if it's just some guys with COVID for a few days. So, you know, they've got to, if what is more likely is it would be maybe a couple of them die. Then they would definitely do it.
Uh-huh.
But unless that happens, the guys with COVID would come back and then they vacate the chair. Yeah. The Democrats aren't going to do that.
Okay. But it is conceivable, because
if you listen closely to what Buck said,
yeah,
he indicated that he's not the last one who's leaving. He seemed to be saying that there are some other Republicans who are going to do the same thing he just did, that they're going to leave early for whatever reason. And all you need is two more
right?
of those. I believe
two
it's
more.
Just two more.
I think
and
that's it.
Hakeem Jeffries then becomes Speaker.
Wow. So this is cutting it real close, and I guess Ken Buck doesn't care. But
I think Ken Buck is, I think he does care, but I think he cares the other way. I think he wants to do this. He's not doing this for, he's not just doing it just to, you know, for any other reason except that he wants to.
Right. No, he does. So the Ken Buck is Mike Johnson.
He hates Mega Mike. And he just, you know, he wants to screw with them. And he is totally screwing with them by doing this. I mean, he wouldn't even have to come in. He could just, like, go home and not retire from Congress. And they would still have the majority. But he's screwing around with them now. And he says that there are a couple of other Republicans who are going to do the same thing.
Good. I hope they do.
Sure you do.
I know, right. Right. So, but here's the other part of it. So now there's going to be a special election to replace Ken Buck in, I think it's the third, whatever the district is in Colorado that he represents. So Lauren Boebert, to run for that, would have to give up her current seat. Now she's decided she's not going to do that. She'll just run in the general election for the seat in the next Congress, but then she'll be running against an incumbent.
No, that was what the reports were saying that, but the reports were not correct. Because the special election is going to be on the same day.
And so it would just...
In other words, the person to fill out the rest of his term is the same day they're going to pick the nominee. So it's still not good for her. It's not a good thing for her, but she isn't going to be running against an incumbent.
I see. Okay, so there'll be two elections held on election day for...
Yes.
For that seat. One is to fill out the last month, the last 6 weeks of the term, and the other is for the next...
No, it's not 6 weeks.
Oh, it's...
Right? The term doesn't end until January, and we're only at... it's going to be April.
Oh, this will be in the primary. This will be in the primary. I'm thinking the general election. I gotcha. Okay. So it'll be in the primary. I see.
Right.
Okay. Either way, it's not good for Lauren, and it's probably not good for her anyway. She's not going to, I can't see her winning there, but what do
right.
I know?
Right. So from what I was able to tell, it looked like she wasn't going to win. But what she's claiming, and I don't know if it's true or not, she's claiming that she's way, way ahead in the polling, that she's done polling and it's not even close. But, you know, who knows? She could be lying.
Go figure. A Republican could be lying. Oh, my goodness. All right. So there was that. But again, this can't be good for Mike Johnson also said something about in the next Congress, they will change the rules on the motion to vacate.
Well, he's right. They're going
to. They have to.
Because it's going to be Hakeem Jeffries who's going to make sure of that.
Damn straight. So speaking of former members of Congress, did you hear Tulsi Gabbard says she'd be honored to be Trump's running mate? Now, I don't know if she's being considered, but what the hell happened to her?
She's a Republican. She always has been. Her family is Republicans. She only so-called became a Democrat because in Hawaii, Republicans don't win anything. So she was never a real Democrat, ever.
So why did Bernie... Why
got
did
the idea because she endorsed Bernie at one point that there was something, you know, there and that you... And even Bernie pretended or didn't know any better.
He didn't know
but
any
she,
better.
But she only did that because she hated Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She didn't care about Bernie or any of Bernie's policies. She just wanted to get at Debbie, who she detested.
But the thing is, she went on the road with Bernie. I mean, I went to see him in Miami, and she was there. She was the opening act. You know, he took her under his wing. Does he not?
He shouldn't have.
He's got bad... He's brought in a few people who I question his judgment on them.
Yeah, well, she endorsed him. She was either the first or one of the first members of Congress to endorse him, and he didn't really know much about her, I guess. I mean, I don't know. And he went with it.
Yeah.
Maybe if he would have looked a little more closely at her homophobic record in Hawaii and her crazy Republican leanings in the House, he would have thought, you know, more closely about it. But, you know, what it is what it is. It's ancient history. And, you know, she's horrible, always has been horrible. I've been writing about her for a really long time, a really long time. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to meet me. And we wound up meeting at a Bernie Sanders event in Burlington, Vermont. And, she asked me to not attack her while she was running for president.
Oh, God. How'd that go?
Oh, that went great.
speaking of, running for president, so this week it was Super Tuesday. Both, Biden and the former guy both clinched their nominations. So it's what we knew it was going to be, unless some miracle happens and Trump's thrown in jail before then. But I guess he'd still run and his sycophants would still, you know, follow him, even if
Absolutely.
He was president from the jail. But there are so Bobby Kennedy Jr. is still in the race, and he's teasing that he's going to announce his running mate soon. And two of the top contenders are Aaron Rodgers and Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. Yep. And I think there's a bigger story here, which is that the you know who Liz Smith is? We've talked about her before,
Liz
right?
Liz Smith. She's like a strategist, publicist. She was Elliot Spitzer's girlfriend.
She's the best in the business.
Yeah, she is.
And, you know,
good.
Not in terms of me liking her, but in terms of her effectiveness and her ruthlessness. She's amazing. She's better than anybody. And the Democrats just hired her. The DNC, I should say, just hired her to take care of the Bobby Kennedy problem.
Oh, really?
And I noticed immediately within a day of that announcement that they had hired her, there was already, like, you know, really negative stuff coming out about him.
Oh, okay. Well, as there should be. You know, yes. I was in Tucson when Allison was in town. We went down to Tucson for the gem and mineral fair, and some people came up to me, like, are you registered to vote? Yeah. Well, you sign our petition for what? To get Bobby Kennedy on the ballot? No.
Oh my God.
But apparently he's on the ballot in Arizona. He got enough signatures, so he'll be on the ballot here.
Which is dangerous, but.
Yep. Yeah, it is dangerous. So there's
presumably, you know, he has a very high, favorability right now because people don't know who he is, and they know who his father was and who his uncle was, but they don't know much about him. And that's why they hired Liz Smith, to make sure that everyone does know who he is and understands that. Now, when it comes to Republicans knowing who he is, that's fine. I mean, you know, this guy is more than anything else. He is, an anti-vax guy.
Yes,
and for Republicans, they love that. In fact, some of them like him more than Trump because they feel that Trump isn't a true anti-vaxxer.
Right.
Because
he said something this week in response to something Joe Biden said in the State of the Union. Joe Biden said in that vaccine is now being used to help, prevent cancer. And Trump said, see, we did that. I did that. My warp speed or whatever it was called. And Alex Jones jumped all over him. He's like, oh, we got to stop that. That's not good.
Yeah, it wasn't just Alex Jones. The whole QAnon part of his coalition, they hate when he does that. And they, you know, they don't trust him for it. And presumably, or I hope, some of them are going to leave him and go to Bobby Kennedy.
Good.
Meanwhile, as Democrats find out what an anti-vaxxer he is and that's his whole thing, more than who his father was, they will abandon him while the Trumpers are embracing him.
I hope so. But now there's yet another third-party threat. And we've talked about No Labels before, but they had a confab the other day, and Joe Lieberman went on CNN today. Here, let me play this little clip for you. This is very disconcerting.
Convention. Mike is a former mayor of Dallas and CEO of Pizza Hut.
Oh, wait.
We'll describe.
Hold on. I didn't start from the beginning. Here we go.
We've done it mostly through Congress with some success, but our members felt that we were never going to succeed if it ended up being Trump and Biden again. And now Super Tuesday has come and gone, and it is. So we're ready. Tonight we're going to announce in an email that I will send out, accompanied by a video narrated by Mike Rawlings, who's the chairman of our grassroots convention. Mike is a former mayor of Dallas and CEO of Pizza Hut, which will describe what we call our Country Over Party Committee, which is a kind of nominating committee. And we're not going to go to work. We've been working on it, but we're now, it's decision time to try to find the best bipartisan unity ticket we can give the American people as the third choice say they want overwhelmingly, because they don't want to have to choose again between Trump and Biden. So we're not going to announce candidates tonight, but we do announce that we're going to announce candidates this spring, and that could be as early as you know, the calendar of nature, March.
So they're not going to announce the candidate tonight. They're just going to announce that they're going to announce candidates as soon as they find people stupid enough to want to do it.
Right. They have literally asked every conceivable person who might do it to do it, and they've all said no.
Yes.
And then, what's his name? I can't remember his first name. Easley, the former governor of North Carolina,
okay.
who is one of the co-chairs of No Labels, just quit.
Oh,
so
really?
So presumably he knows who they're looking at, and he's a Republican, and he quit.
Good. Good. More, yeah. You know.
And I'm guessing, he didn't say this, but I'm guessing that he quit because he realizes what they're going to do is throw the election to Trump, and he doesn't want that.
Exactly. I mean, that's the only reason they would be doing this, because they have no chance at winning. They could at best be a spoiler, and the spoiler would go against, Biden, which is just shame on them.
Because anyone who doesn't vote for Biden is helping Trump.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I love that. I just looked over at the chat room and I see Mr. Bird said, please go away, Joe. So there's that. But, you know, unfortunately, the courts are playing games, too. And now it looks like the New York fraud trial, the hush money trial, is going to be pushed back at least 30 days. So much for one trial starting this month.
I mean, you know, Trump has been doing this his whole life, is delay. But it was Alvin, what's his name?
Bragg.
The DA?
Alvin Bragg.
Yeah, he agreed to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm guessing it isn't that bad. And did you see that, something on the other end happened, which was Cannon, who we don't ever expect anything good from.
Right.
She threw out Trump's, Trump's request for a for the whole trial to be declared unconstitutional based on insanity.
I don't think she ruled on it yet, but she apparently let it be known that she wasn't inclined to go along with his request, that his request was bullshit. So at least and she said she'll be ruling shortly, but still hasn't. So.
Okay. I saw that originally, and then I thought she did rule, but maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah, not yet. But it should happen, you know, any minute now. But then again, we're still waiting on the ruling on whether or not, they all mush together in my brain now. we have the Supreme Court's going to hear the absolute immunity, ridiculous claim, Trump. They tack it on to the very end of the term, so they're going to hear it on April 25th. You know, it's just, how more obvious could they be?
Yeah, well, I'm guessing this. This is obviously, I don't know. I have no connection to give me this information. But I'm guessing that the Republicans on there, which is most of them, agreed that they will find against Trump, and that in return they just wanted it to go, you know, not do it right away. That's what I'm guessing happened. Internal
politics.
So-called deliberations.
Right. Howie, who's Helen Klein? Is she related to you?
She's very, very, very good friend. She's not a blood relative, but she went to college with me, and we've been close our whole lives, and we travel together a lot. And occasionally, she'll write a post. She's a psychologist.
Oh, good. Well, she's got a post up at Down with Tyranny. Went up a few days ago. To all American women, please wake up, and soon we must fight the war on women. And she talks about Katie Britt. Now, were you familiar with Senator Britt before her response to the State of the Union?
Of course. And the reason I was familiar with her is because she is so incredibly corrupt that it was like horrifying. She was the chief of staff for Shelby.
Oh, okay.
Shelby, I think,
Shelby
is his name, who is a Democrat who switched to become a Republican in the Senate. He was like one of the last Alabama blue dogs, and then he became a senator and he switched to the Republican Party. But she was his chief of staff in the last his last round, and she was awful. And she had made a deal with Sam Bankman-Fried.
Oh God!
Now, she took more money from Sam Bankman-Fried than almost anyone, than any non-leader. And the only reason she's in the Senate is because of him. He, because, you know, that was a race that looked like Mo Brooks was going to win.
Right.
He in the primary, and Bankman-Fried destroyed Mo Brooks, and that's how she wound up getting the Republican nomination, and that's why she's in the Senate now. And she is the quintessential hack for the crypto industry.
Oh.
So she's the reason that they were spending all this money was because rather than have a competent financial type regulator, you know, like the SEC, who should be regulating them, they wanted to have the commodities exchange regulate them as though they're not a financial thing, they're a commodities thing, which is basically the commodity thing is they have agriculture.
Yep.
So they wanted a bunch of farmers to be the ones who are watching them. And Katie Britt is one of the people leading that in the Senate. I mean, there's others who are doing the same thing in the House, including the majority whip, Tom Emmer, who also got a huge amount of money from them.
But in the Senate,
she's the one.
Wow.
So, yes, I'm very familiar with her and how horrible she is.
And did you watch her response? I mean, when it happened?
But obviously I saw some of it on YouTube after, but I knew better than to watch, you know, what she has to say. I have no interest in what she has to say.
Right. Well, she was, it was mind-blowing how scary it was. And the response to her was hysterical. I mean, we take our yucks and laughs in unusual places these days, but that was highly entertaining because of just how bad it was.
That voice was so scary. I mean, what the hell? Do you know people who do that?
No, but, you know, do you remember the old public service announcements for the ASPCA with Sarah McLachlan and Angel playing and please help? And now they have the Sarah McLachlan thing was so many years ago, but everyone remembers it because it was so over the top. Now they have one running with this voice. It could be Katie Britt going, the animals are suffering. And it's horrible because I, you know, that's one of my causes, but it's so over the top that you have to, you know, you have to laugh because it's pathetic.
And yet they wouldn't be doing it if people weren't writing them checks.
Yes. Oh, God, it's so bad. But did you watch the State of the Union address?
I did. I didn't think I would.
Mm-hmm.
And Roland was over here and he wanted to watch it. And I said no. And he went back to his place. And then I put it on and it was really good. I watched the whole thing. I watched
really
every minute
good,
of it.
Right? It was really good. Surprisingly, really good. He showed he's got his full command of his faculties. And I, you know, I'd put him up against Donald Trump any day. Now, so Trump keeps saying, I want him to debate me. Should Biden debate Trump?
I don't know. They're both, I think they're both rather senile, and I don't think either one of them can think on their feet. I mean, but Trump's an actor, and he can, you know, he can pretend better. And plus, his fans don't care.
Right, his fans don't care.
I have a feeling that Trump would come out better in debates.
Really?
But I don't think Trump wants to debate him anyway. Trump is, they're both just counting on the other one getting the blame for no debates. We'll see how that plays out.
Gotcha. Well, you know, Biden would have every reason to say, fuck you. You wouldn't debate any of your primary opponents. Why should I, you know, give you that opportunity?
Well, Biden has said he'll debate Trump depending on Trump's behavior between now and then. So he didn't define what that meant,
right.
But you know, that's easy to point to Trump's behavior as in a way to say, well, no, I'm not going to debate you.
Gotcha.
You're a bad boy.
Gotcha. So we've got a big week coming up ahead. I'm seeing Bruce Springsteen on Tuesday night. He's starting up his tour again after a year-long delay because he got some ulcer, like a bad. He was apparently in a lot of pain for before they put a pause in the tour. So I'm excited to see him. But as we seem to talk about all too often, this was a tough week. Carl Wallinger of World Party, you a World Party fan?
I was, and I was really surprised to see that. I think I learned about it from your tweet.
I've been listening. You know, it's weird because last weekend.
He's a young guy, right?
He was 66. And we don't know what it was yet that killed him. But last week, you know, I go out in the garage and I have like a workshop set up out there because I play art and make things. And I've got a little music player out there. And last weekend, I was on a World Party jag. I was just listening to World Party. And then the news came down Monday night I had a friend over for dinner, Dan Navarro. I don't know if you remember Loan and Navarro, but Dan was here, and we were talking for hours, and of course I had to pick up the phone because how long can you go without scrolling? And the first thing I see is Eric Carmen died. Like, oh, yeah. Man, Eric Carmen, I could do without the All by Myself, but the raspberries were awesome. I mean, some of the best power pop ever recorded. Love the raspberries. And then I'm like, oh no. And then I went back to scrolling and then my stomach just dropped because Carl Wallinger, I'm such a big World Party fan. And I believe that's one of the bands and Carl Wallinger, one of the artists who was underappreciated in life. Too many people never heard of him.
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, because they were just like big on alternative radio, you mean?
Yeah, he never really broke through hugely. You know, I think he was more of a niche artist. Still, I say World Party to people and they're like, who's that? And yeah. They don't know his name.
San Francisco, they would know.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, he never had a top 40 hit or anything. He had alternative and AAA. So I've been on a roll trying to tell people to listen to Goodbye Jumbo. Listen to Egyptology, which was a surprisingly really good album with an amazing song on it called She's the One that I get goosebumps when I hear it. And so, you know, here we are again. It's like every week talking about, you know, our
that ain't gonna stop.
No, I know. So go out and enjoy live music. I mean, I'm thrilled I get to see Springsteen this week. But you know, catch them while you can, because we're all getting old.
Right, and there are some who are in the generation beyond the people who are you know dying now, and you know. So people who were in their 70s and 80s.
I know.
And
the Rolling
you know.
Stones are touring. Now, I'm probably
what I was thinking of.
I'm going to skip that tour because, you know what? I've seen them a bunch of times, and I'd rather remember them with Charlie Watts and when they, you know, I don't need to see them in a stadium from way up on high because that's the only seats I could probably afford, if that. But
I feel that way about everybody, just about. That, you know, I've seen them before when they were really great, and now they're not. And why are they doing this now? There are various reasons why they're doing it now. And do I really want to see them again? And I tend to not see live music for that reason. Unless it's some new band that I wind up getting invited to. That I'm always up for.
Right. Well, there are some, and a lot of them I won't. Like I told you, I went to see Dave Mason. Big mistake, because I have a totally different, and interviewing him, it was the worst. But Springsteen, yeah, Neil Young is coming. I would see him, but I can't afford the tickets. They're too expensive. But I'd love to see him. I'd still see Neil Young. You know, some of them, it depends on the artist. One last thing, Howie, before we go. I'm going to another Democratic local event here this weekend. That's an organizing, you know, help Joe Biden get out the vote kind of thing.
Hopefully not like the one in Florida.
No, it'll be like the last one that I went to here, which was really good. And this one, I'm hearing that Jamie Raskin is going to be there.
Oh, wow. Oh, yes. Fantastic.
So I have a favor.
Oh, please, yes. Say hello for me.
Well, if you have any opportunity to reach out to him, and I would love to talk to him there. I don't know if, you know, I don't have an in with him anymore. So I don't know if you could send me the name of his press person or something.
I don't know anybody but him. I mean, you know, but I can definitely say something. Why don't you send me a note, you know, with all the details of what day and what time and where and all that kind of stuff, and I'll send him a note.
Awesome. That's exactly what I wanted to hear, because he's my favorite member of Congress, bar none. He is it. I adore him. I think he's awesome, and I've not ever met him in person.
And he's really, truly brilliant.
I know.
I mean, really a lot of times, you know, you want these members of Congress to be brilliant, and they're not. They're just, you know, they're better than ordinary, right. But he actually is brilliant.
He is. So I'll send you the note as soon as we're done. So hopefully I get to meet him and maybe, you know, get a few minutes on tape with him, which would be great. Okay. So there's that. Howie Klein, as always, thank you. We'll talk next week, and I'll send you an email in a few minutes.
Okay, cool.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye. All right. With that, we're done. Tomorrow is Friday. Marcy Wheeler will be here. Lots to talk about. So I will send Howie an email. Hopefully I get to meet Jamie Raskin this weekend. Fingers crossed. No skin cancer on my ear, so that's good. Hope the face stuff is okay. Isn't getting old fun? And soon we'll have another edition of the Mal Ladies, where we talk about all the medical things that ail us. All right. All right. With that, we're done. Hasta mañana. Peace out.